You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks, it's Rule 76.
Oh, yes, indeed. The West Coast Open. It is a thing once again. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
He's Rick DiPietro.
And I'm sure little Danny was real productive in those elements.
Now, come on, Rick.
Damn right.
Yeah, as he's crying. Like, Mom, I want to quit because I got a stinger.
That is not very nice, Rick. Come on. But I am Dan Grasso.
Raining. I'll have some oatmeal. Maybe some peanut butter and jelly while I wait out the rain.
Oh, RJ Santillo's also here.
Everyone get you a Raymond in your life like I have.
And he has a Raymond, and so do I. But he has to almost look like a hobo. Hobo Ray is my favorite Ray. Good morning, as always. The companies are with us. Thank you for joining us this morning. We're DiPietro and Rothenberg. DNR, the R&R boys.
Who are you?
I told you, we're Dan and Rick. You can call us whatever the heck you want, but don't call us lazy. Catch us 6 to 10 right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call is 800-919-3776.
Don't you talk about my Dave.
Well, your Dave might be rigging his March Madness pool. Did you ever think about that? Unbelievable. Final hour that we have planned for you today. But first, no, I just remembered I forgot to pay for my parking. Can't forget that, which I have taken care of today at least. But because we all know if you do,
that was too penal.
Have to mind the penal code, because otherwise they might take my car and then I have to find another mode of transportation.
On this horse carriage, we fight for that inch.
That is right. And if I'm using a horse, you know, that not too far behind is going to be none other than the horse Whistler.
Do horses eat ore?
I have no idea if they do or they don't, but you know what I do know is that it's time to bring in my best friend, Richard DiPietro.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Don't you love the West Coast Open?
Really well done.
Like I said, Edison, the light bulb, Graham Bell, the telephone, Grasso, West Coast Open.
Well, let's be honest, though. First foray into the West Coast Open, not your best.
No, because it was the initial one.
Right. Not your best.
Thursday morning.
You think the first time that Edison flicked the switch to turn on the light bulb, it came on? No.
You make a good point, but I think second turn, fantastic.
That was a great West Coast Open.
It really was.
It really was. So the West Coast Open is a thing, and so is opening day with Major League Baseball. It is here. It is 2024. Now, if you are a New York baseball fan, you get to see one of your two teams today. And that'll be the Yankees. They are down in Houston to take on the Stros. Mets rained out. They're going to do it tomorrow. Good for them for calling it a little bit early. But, you know, we were talking a little bit about it over the last couple of days, whether, you know, the opening day has that buzz or not here in the city. Because I think that the baseball fan in this town is, the expectations are maybe tempered a little bit. You know, for whatever reason. You know, the Mets did not have the sexiest offseason, as we know. Yankees, their mood has maybe been tempered a little bit by the Gerrit Cole news that you may not see him for a bulk of the season this year, if at all. But nevertheless, it's good to have it back. And look, I could sit here and make a case for you, Rick, that both teams, everything will come up roses. And we're going to be talking about maybe two teams in contention making the playoffs. Or maybe a realist would say that it might be tough sledding for both of these clubs, given the adversity that they've faced already.
What I think is interesting, though, is the disparity between what some people think the Yankees are going to be this year and what other people think the Yankees are going to be this year. Like, there's a huge difference into, like, what Pecota gave you, as opposed to what Baseball Reference has given you. We heard from Jeff Passan saying he doesn't think they're going to make the playoffs. I just saw, you know, Jessica Mendoza talking about they were going to win, you know, more than 91 and a half games. Like, there's a huge gap there for what some people think this Yankee season is going to be. I'll tell you this, though. If for whatever reason it's, you know, Gerrit Cole doesn't come back, or when Gerrit Cole comes back, he's not that good, or Carlos Rodon doesn't figure it out, offense isn't as good as we thought it would be because there's, you know, they dealt with injuries all season long. If for whatever reason the Yankees end up not making the playoffs and the Mets find a way to slide into a wild card, oh my goodness.
Well, here's the question. Let's say that scenario presents itself. Do you then think finally there would be some changes within the hierarchy of the New York Yankees?
Well, I think there would have to be.
No, we know that there would have to be.
Boone would be gone. I would guarantee that Boone is gone.
Just one of them.
Well, I can't guarantee that Cashman's going to be gone, but I think, I mean, they would have been well within their, Hal would have been well within his right to make that change after what happened last season, if he wanted to.
Because Yankee fans want it yesterday.
Right.
Years ago.
Right. Now they're supposed to be all in. And if all in means that they don't make the playoffs, then yeah, I think they would have to make changes.
A little while ago, we heard from Jeff Passan, who didn't think that the Yankees were going to make the playoffs. And you got to stay tuned for our predictions to see if we think the same thing. But here was a little bit more about Jeff Passan talking about some concerns that he has for this team.
Just their age. It's an old team. Aaron Judge is into his 30s now. Giancarlo Stanton old, Anthony Rizzo old, DJ LeMahieu old. Like, I understand there's an infusion of talent with Anthony Volpe. Austin Wells is going to get some time at catcher. And of course, they traded for Juan Soto. I think he's going to have a monster season. And if anything, it's going to be the Judge-Soto connection that makes me look foolish here. But I just look at the rest of the American League, and I think there are better teams out there. And I question the Yankees starting pitching without Cole. Who's going to be the dude? Is it going to be Carlos Rodon? Is it going to be Nestor Cortes? Is it going to be Marcus Stroman? Don't get me wrong. I don't think the Yankees are going to collapse. I think they're going to be better than they were last year. I just think there are other teams in the American League who have a better chance to make the playoffs.
That's, of course, the ESPN Daily Podcast. And look, the East is stacked. The West is stacked. I don't think the Central is obviously not as formidable, but there's some people that think that maybe a team like the Royals could come out of nowhere and surprise this year. I don't know about that. But here's what I will say. He brought up a point there at the very end about I think they'll be better than last year. And I put that scenario out there to you earlier in the week. You won 82 games last year. You kind of save face down the stretch. Remember, this team was playing sub-500 ball for the majority of the year. So they technically finished with a winning record. Is that good enough? Like, let's say the Yankees are better than last year. They win somewhere in the high 80s. But they still don't make the playoffs. So let's say it's a stacked American League, and they win 89 or 90 and are on the outside looking in. Does that warrant change, in your opinion?
Well, I think if Hal is true to his word, then yeah, it would warrant change. You're supposed to be all in. I mean, last time I checked, all in meant to not only make the playoffs, but potentially win a World Series, right?
All right, how about this? 89-90 wins.
Yep.
Miss the playoffs. You don't have Cole basically the whole season. So there's your built-in excuse. But you still perform above your skis, but just miss out. Change or no change?
Oh.
And you know what? I'll even throw in one of your big position players that you count on. He also misses a bulk of the time. But team is in the race. You just miss out. You making change at the end of the year?
What would I do, or what do I think Hal would
both
do? Well, I think Hal would probably lean on the fact that you had no Gerrit Cole for the season, and whoever the big-time player, if it's Jim Judge, misses a bunch of time, that you could use those as excuses. But that's not how Yankees fans will feel. Yankees fans are all set. I mean, Yankees fans would have been happy if Brian Cashman was fired after last season and they started over. So I don't care. I don't think it's going to matter to Yankees fans who was hurt or who wasn't or how many wins they have. If they don't make the playoffs for a second straight year, they're going to want change.
And Boone has a club option on his contract for next year. So you could almost kind of make the case that he's a lame duck. He's going to have to produce if he wants to run it back next year as the manager of this team. Now, again, managers could do really, really good work, but they don't necessarily always keep their jobs. I mean, look at what happened to Joe Girardi, for crying out loud, right? Joe Girardi had the best season managing for the New York Yankees since they, you know, went to the World Series the last time. He got it to Game 7 of the ALCS and was said, you know, thanks for the memories, and they brought in Aaron Boone and haven't reached those heights since. So I don't know what it's going to take. I would like to think that you'd probably have to find your way into the postseason if you want to bring both of these guys back, just given how Hal and his mentality has been with this group.
Well, especially with the uncertainty of what's going to happen next year, right? Like, I mean, do you have, is Soto going to re-sign here? Right? I mean, look at the amount of free agents you're going to have after the season. Not to mention the fact that you're going to end up burning another year of Judge's prime and Garrett Cole's prime. Passan's not wrong. Like, this is an older team, and you're going to have to hope that, you know, the Anthony Volpes of the world have a really good sophomore season, that Austin Wells behind the plate can add something offensively. If Verdugo's going to have a big year. Offensively, dude, they were, I mean, when you look at their numbers offensively last year, they were brutal.
Yeah.
They were brutal. I mean, you had the second worst batting average. You were 25th in runs. Like, yeah, that's not good enough, especially when you look at the East and you look at the AL West. You're going to need to be better than that, and I think you can be better than that, and they will be better than that. But I'm still concerned about Carlos Rodon. I am. And it's not so much just performance. It's also potentially mentality with him. Like, I don't know. Could he end up being one of those guys that just can't handle New York?
It's possible.
Because he's real combative with the Yankees fans. And it's crucial for him to get out to a good start. If he does not get, especially with the pressure on him now, not having Garrett Cole, like, he just, that Passan asked, who's going to be the dude? Well, I'll tell you who should be the dude, because you're paying him to be a dude, is Carlos Rodon. And if he gets off to a slow start, he is going to hear it from New York Yankees fans. And I can't imagine him responding well to that.
You had a rotation littered with question marks, not named Garrett Cole. Now you take Garrett Cole out of the mix, and it's all question marks. That's all it is. And yeah, so that is dicey
going
into...
That's pretty much what it is.
It's extremely dicey going into the season. And then you throw in the fact that you have somebody like DJ LeMahieu, who's already coming off of maybe a downward turn. He's banged up here to start the season. So Aaron Boone was asked yesterday, is the DJ LeMahieu injury short-term or not?
I mean, I hope so, but I don't know, because I wouldn't say he got shut down. I would just say, as we ramped up into, I know he went out for some ground balls that one day, it wasn't great, you know, so it's in that, you know, pain is still in there. So we want it to kind of be things that you're able to tolerate. So whether that turns into hitting and fielding in a couple days, I don't know. But I know where he went out the other day and tried that, it wasn't good enough.
I'm curious to hear from the realistic Yankee fan. Okay, the realistic one, who could be objective. What are the expectations for this team? I don't want to hear about it's championship or bust, because that's the Yankees. Realistic, given the fact that you haven't won a World Series in 15 years, haven't been there since, what should the expectations be for this club in 2024? That's what I want to know.
At the very least, they're playoffs. At the very least. You can think it's going to be too hard, especially, I think with Cole, the expectation would have been to win the AL East. But now without Cole, I can understand that. I mean, look at the ground you're trying to make up, even if Baltimore takes a step back. I mean, Baltimore won 101 games. You won 82 last season.
Right.
So,
And this is one of those things. And I think, obviously, Baltimore's better. But Toronto lost a couple of pieces in the offseason. That talent has not manifested itself yet. You could call them almost underachievers. This would be the year where maybe you think Tampa could be, I say could, be a little vulnerable, given the injuries and stuff that they have with their starting rotation. Remember, they trade Glass now. You still got a couple of those guys on the way back from Tommy John surgery. So maybe the Rays are ripe for the taking. And now here come the Yankees going into the season without Garrett Cole, not knowing where your rotation is going to be.
Right, that's right. And I think one of the things that you would point to with this team is that every fifth day you had Garrett Cole. And what that does for, I mean, what that does for you when he pitches, you're 23-10 when he pitches, and what that also does for your bullpen. That's the other thing you take into account too, right? I mean, is... As much as I believe that this Yankees offense is going to be better, and I think you feel the same way, at a certain point, if you do have, you know, a rotation with a bunch of question marks and those guys don't, you know, step up and someone doesn't, you know, grab the reins and be that guy, then, I mean, at what point are we saying, are we having the conversation like Yankees are using the bullpen too much? They're already worn out. They're already worn out. Because, I mean, that feels like a conversation that a lot of these teams have with how baseball is managed these days, or how the front office is doing.
Right. Yeah, and look, you could call it glass half full. I just don't think the Yankees are sunk right now because the uncertainty with Garrett Cole. He was the best pitcher in baseball last year. He was dependable, durable, and you still had the worst season you've had in three decades. Jacob DeGrom was the best pitcher on the planet for a few seasons with the Mets. They lost more of the games that he started than they won, and they never made the playoffs during the peak of his powers there. So I think we're making too much over just one pitcher's absence that it could derail your season. Not in baseball. It's not. You had the best two players on the planet in the same lineup for how many years out in Anaheim, and they won squat.
Well, look at how loaded the lineup was in San Diego last season. Right? I mean, at San Diego, the Padres lineup was loaded.
Yep.
And it amounted to nothing. I mean, look at the runs that the Yankees scored last year compared to what the better teams in Major League Baseball scored. I mean, it's not even close. And Baltimore scored 807 runs last season. The Yankees scored 673. That is a huge difference.
We got our sim coming up here in just a bit. Let's get some calls though, Rick. A lot of people want to chime in here. Opening day baseball. Ken in Connecticut next up here on 98.7. Kenny, good morning. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. So, as an elitist Yankee fan, I wrote a haiku about how I feel about this upcoming season.
Let's hear it.
All right. 90 wins. Just sad. High injured list, my old friend. Enjoy Juan. He gone.
I like it.
And realistic expectations, Dan, what you were just saying, like, yes, the playoffs are always, every single season. That's the expectation. And that's still, to me, like, overall might still be that as well. But, I mean, the Cole injury, you don't know whether that could galvanize the team and just, like, maybe that propels them to, close to 100. Maybe they falter and it's, an 88. It's just impossible to tell at this point.
There's different ways to skin a cat nowadays in Major League Baseball. And Kenny, thanks for the phone call. Great job with the haiku. You look at the way the Tampa Bay Rays have gone about their business, bullpenning, mixing and matching. I mean, you look around baseball, there's teams that are successful, Rick, that don't even have five legitimate starting pitchers. There's different ways you can win. It's there. But I brought up the St. Louis Cardinals earlier in the show, the 2011 team that won a championship without Adam Wainwright, who was their ace. Previous 2 years, Adam Wainwright won 39 games the previous 2 years. 39 games. He finished third and second in the Cy Young Award. And they didn't have him all of 2011. They won a World Series. It could be done.
Yeah, I know it could be done. I just have a hard time believing that if Gerrit Cole doesn't come back, they can win a World Series. But I'm with you as far as I think, they can still be a playoff team.
Subi in Midtown up next. What's up, Subi? Good morning.
Hey, Dan. Looking back on Yankee seasons of the past, they were going on these win streaks of 10 games, like a couple of weeks in a row. So I just want to say that to get to 90 wins, you're going to have to go on these large win streaks. And the key thing here is Gleyber's on his last year of his contract. You're going to have to get a relief pitcher and a starting pitcher for him sometime this year, because the offense will be there. But if the pitching, if you don't get 200 innings pitched from two or three pitchers, you're going to have a big problem, because that's usually the winning formula for all Major League Baseball teams. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, Sue, but thanks for the call. And Rick, we don't know how the season's going to play out, but if we're sitting there late July, Yankees are in the mix, and they need to go out there and fill a hole, if you want to say, let's just, for argument's sake, pitching, right? Whether it's a bullpen arm, whether it's a starter, and they're stacked offensively, perhaps maybe a guy like Gleyber is expendable. Right? If it's going to help you out more than just keeping Gleyber, maybe.
Well, he's been the name that you've heard, right? I mean, there was a deadline where we thought he was getting traded. They ended up keeping him.
Almost a little surprising he's still on the team, right? Because we thought maybe he'd be gone in the offseason, so he was their, like, big chip.
I think this is more part of, like, the we're going all in thing. And if it's not working out, then he would be the guy. Or if it is working out offensively and we need to upgrade the pitching staff, he would be someone that we could move off of. But, I mean, he offensively is a proven commodity at second base. Right. So if you're all in, yeah. I mean, would it suck to get through the season and then you lose him for nothing? Because are you going to pay Gleyber Torres big money? If you're the Yankees, probably not.
Depends on what kind of year he has, too.
Yeah, but I can't. Can you see them giving him a long-term deal here?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would lean no right now.
Probably not. But again, what if he has like an MVP-type season? I mean, once upon a time, this guy looked like he was an MVP in the making.
Well, look at the money you have spent already. I mean, are you going to give him what he's looking for?
Well, I don't know what he's looking for.
Well, if he has an MVP caliber season, you have a pretty good idea what he's going to be looking for.
Well, look at the market in this particular offseason. Guys are not getting paid if your name isn't Shohei Ohtani, as far as like multiple years, blockbuster, long-term contract type deals.
Yamamoto got paid.
Well, I mean, he's a pitcher.
I understand it. But if Gleyber Torres has an MVP caliber season, then he's going to be looking for an amount of money that I don't know if the Yankees are going to be willing to pay.
Probably not. Perfect world, probably not. Especially in, look, I don't think they're going to be swimming in the Juan Soto waters, but you never know. Let's see what happens when we play out this season. RJ, it is time for Sim.
Now.
See ya!
Bang! Touchdown! Rebound score!
The you missed.
Oh, and there's a lot of it. Talking some baseball, Yankees get John Birdie. from the Marlins. Three-team trade. Marlins get two outfield prospects, one from the Yankees, one from the Rays. Tampa in this deal acquires Ben Roethlisberger. We hardly knew you as he heads off to Tampa.
He is jacked, though.
Very large biceps.
That's a good move for the Yankees.
Yeah, as Dan noted yesterday, had a little bit of a bottleneck at the catcher position, and they bring in Birdie, who can play a whole lot of positions. Aaron Boone was elated yesterday talking about the different positions that he could play, so they need that versatile infielder.
High socks guy, the John Birdie, right? He's one of those guys that wears the high socks.
Well, that's the way you should wear your socks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throwback.
That's nice. Elsewhere around baseball, Will Smith, Dodgers, 10 years, $140 million. Taking him through 2033. Nice deal.
That's incredible. I know he's liked and everything, but I mean, there's just not a lot of 10-year deals given out, and it's Will Smith. Wow.
Yeah, one of the best catchers in the game. I think he's already 29 as well, so it's not like this is one of those like early buyout your arb years kind of deal.
How much of that do you think is maybe some sort of goodwill PR from the Dodgers, given all the Ohtani mess that's happened in the last week?
If that's goodwill, that's an expensive goodwill to buy.
But it's only $14 million a year.
Is it going to matter, though? If it turns out that Shohei Ohtani was the one that was actually gambling, is it going to matter that they signed Will Smith? Or is it going to matter if they gave Yamamoto all that money and he stinks?
What's funny? Will Smith has gotten so many clutch hits for the Dodgers since he's been there. It's like crazy. Every time you put on a Dodger game, like Will Smith is in the middle of something. It's crazy.
Yeah, you could make an argument. He's the best catcher in baseball.
I still don't buy this Ohtani story, man.
Which part of it?
All of it.
His side?
Or his side. No, I don't know why. You guys gave me no feedback on this yesterday. Why, if you're Ipe, would you agree to do a sit-down if you're the one that stole the money?
We gave you feedback. We just didn't have an answer.
It makes no sense.
Give him a soft landing?
The thing I don't buy...
Soft landing?
Yeah. It seems like you're being... It's before you're being counseled by lawyers. It's something you would do. Like, hey, let's just clean this up. Here's a story. Give it to them. They'll believe it. We'll move on.
No, but I understand that. But if you're Ipe... And you stole the money. No. There's no getting around you stealing the money.
Oh, of course.
Like, I don't need to speak to a lawyer. If I never told Ohtani that I stole $4.5 million, I'm not going to sit down for 90 minutes and give some fakakta story and think that thing's going to hold up.
No, I'm with you. What else doesn't seem to hold up? And again, I don't play in these waters, but the more I listen to people who I would tend to know would have knowledge of this situation, you are not getting a line of credit into the millions.
No.
Even the high rollers. The highest of rollers with any bookie. So none of it adds up.
He probably lied and said his name was Ohtani.
I'm sure that
Well, the passed. Money was coming from Ohtani's account.
Is it possible, though, and Rick, I guess you might know this, when you have millions of dollars coming in, were you as tapped into your bank account as, like, the average person, or did you kind of pay people to handle your money?
No, everyone pays people to handle their money. You have financial advisors. I told you, there are guys that I've played with that don't even see their own bills. Like, their agency will pay their bills for them, so they have no idea how much money they're spending.
So just isolating the story to the aspect of possibly Ipe stealing the money, is it possible he had some kind of, I don't know why he'd have this information, that he did have access to the account and that he could have skimmed off the top?
Well, I think that what's up for debate, and I don't know, because you've heard from people that have had experience as translators with how much, you know, how important it is, how much, you know, actual day-to-day stuff they're involved with, because, again, this is, you know, someone in a foreign country, but I don't know. People are having a hard time believing that you can wire transfer $500,000 without the person
knowing
it.
Right, multiple times over.
Yeah, not great. Also not great, Matt McClain, red second baseman, had left shoulder surgery. Repair a labrum. This was ominous. Team said they hope to have him back this season.
I didn't even see that. Was this like yesterday or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he could be gone for the entire year. Reds have high aspirations.
I like the Reds this year.
You know who liked Jadeveon Clowney was the Jets once upon a time. He will not be a Jet. He will be a...
Panther.
Oh, boy. Hope that $20 million's worth it. Could be worth up to $24 million over 2 years for Clowney. LSU receiver Malik Nabers could be a Giant. Met with the Giants. Said I heard Brian Daboll loves the way I play. It's great to be around the atmosphere with those guys. So,
did you watch any of his pro day yesterday?
Watched a little bit of it.
Holy moly.
So you're saying it was a great pro day?
He's explosive.
No, dude. Like, even like just watching him explode off. He did his 40. And was he 4.35 his 40?
Yes.
Dude, watching him get off the line for his 40 and then watching him jump. He's got a 42-inch vertical. Ha. Kid is a freakish athlete.
Also at that pro day, nice from Jaden Daniels. So he wore a purple shirt with the name and number of Greg Brooks on the back, who is a senior at LSU who was diagnosed with a brain tumor and missed the season. So really nice from Jaden Daniels. The president of the NCAA urging state lawmakers to ban prop bets on college athletes, which I actually think needs to get done. I think that's how you clean up some of this, because it's not crazy to think that someone is going to fix a prop. They're not. I don't think college athletes, especially in NIL, are going to fix games. How many guys can even fix games? Like, you need quarterbacks on board and star players. But with NIL, they're getting paid anyways. But what they can fix is, oh, my over-under four catches is 6.5. I'm at 6. Eh. You know, you can manipulate over-unders, I think, a little bit easier. So I do think that needs to be.
Well, also without Porter.
Yeah, but also without the, like, the real, I guess, costing your team the game aspect of it.
Yeah, you could win your prop without costing your team a game.
Right, or lose your prop without costing your team a...
Correct.
Go the under, whatever.
Yes. Kimberly Martin had something interesting to say on ESPN, that our own Raymond Santiago has been saying for a little bit now.
This is the end, unless something drastic, like, I don't know, the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. We don't see this sort of situation where you have a quarterback feeling like lame duck year, we don't know what his future holds, and the head coach at the same time. We don't see that. In Dallas, it just seems sort of like, I like you, you're good, but I kind of want to keep my eye open in case something else comes along.
Real quick, Ray, Dak a Cowboy next year? No.
Doesn't look good.
Ooh.
When you say next year, do you mean 2024?
25. Cam Thomas scores 38. A couple of nice jumpers in overtime. Nets hold off the Wizards by 3. By the way, Wizards and Caps staying in D.C., not moving to Virginia to play their home games. They're going to renovate the stadium they're in right now. Jalen Green drops 37.
Rockets, the sports book in it?
That's right. Yeah. Rockets win their 10th straight, beating the Thunder in overtime. The Rockets are 2 games over .500, 1 game behind the Warriors for the final play-in spot. Warriors, by the way, win last night without Draymond Green, who got tossed less than 4 minutes into their game. They beat the Magic. Refs admit they missed a foul call in the end of the Clippers-Sixers game. Clippers win that game by 1. Crew chief Kevin Scott said there should have been a foul called on the drive by Kelly Oubre of the Sixers. And if you've seen Oubre in the final moments of television coverage, you understand that he agrees that there was a missed call. Nick Nurse, who was also yelling at officials when he wasn't doing that, said that there is a very good likelihood Joel Embiid back for the regular season, not just the postseason. Embiid spent 6 weeks, 7 weeks now almost, since that left knee procedure. Sixers are the 8th seed.
It's incredible. It's incredible that they're the 8th seed. You know what I mean? Like, I understand the injury had a lot to do with it, but my gosh, drop it all the way down to 8.
Yep, they have 9 games left this regular season, and Caitlin Clark was offered $5 million to join Ice Cube's Big 3 basketball league, and they feel confident that if she were to take it, he could make sure that she was available to play in both the WNBA and his Big 3 simultaneously. So
That's allowed, I guess?
Hey, I don't see why it's not.
Interesting. I don't think anyone said it's allowed yet. I mean, it would have to be up to the team. It would have to be up to Indiana to let her do that.
Yeah, she's going to go to the Fever first overall, so I guess there would be a conversation to be had. But that's the bleep you missed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yanks in Houston. Nestor on the mound. Mets are going to have to wait till tomorrow. Fans can feast your eyes on Jose Quintana tomorrow afternoon against the Milwaukee Brewers because of the rain that is happening there outside. Good job by the Mets calling it early. All right. I think expectations for this team this year are what they are. We spent enough time talking about it all offseason. Yes, I think we both like the JD Martinez signing. It changes the look of the lineup, I think, to a certain degree. And maybe I'm a little bit more bullish on it than some. I think that, and it's a big if. But if this offense and these guys can stay healthy, we've seen them all at their peak be successful, most of them. And I think that this team could surprise if this lineup holds up their end of the bargain, because I'm not a huge believer in this rotation like most people. I know having Edwin Diaz back at the back end of the bullpen is huge, but I'm not sold on their middle relief. I think the offense is going to have to really almost carry this team this year, Rick.
Yeah, well, I think the offense is going to be good, especially the addition of JD Martinez, right? Defensively, Darrell Field will be better. Bringing in Harrison Bader. I'm with you, though. When Senga went down, now, I don't even know. I mean, Senga had a good season last season, but, I mean, Senga's not really an ace of a staff, right?
No.
You didn't have a Gerrit Cole with the staff anyway, and now you lose your best pitcher, and you're relying on, you know, low-risk, high-reward signings to all of a sudden find it. Like, you're hoping that it was as simple as Luis Severino still has great stuff, but he was tipping his pitches, and he'll figure it out, and he won't be the guy that was throwing batting practice last season. That whatever the sweeper that Manaea found in the bullpen where he spent most of his time last season is, you know, now, you know, he's going to be this different kind of pitcher we saw him in the four starts last season at the end of the season. Like, I don't have much faith in that. I don't. Like, who's pitching all these innings for this team?
You don't have them right now.
No, you don't have them.
You don't want to tip into minor leagues just yet, even though these young guys like, you know, Scott and Vassell and Hamill and guys like that. I mean, in a perfect world, I would love to keep them down in the minor leagues until next season at the earliest. Give them more seasoning. I don't want to rush them back up here.
Right, which is why I don't fully understand why the rotation wasn't addressed. Right, like why there wasn't, I mean, when you saw what Montgomery signed for, why when we're talking about just money, And I don't want to hear about the international signing pool and stuff like that. There was no draft compensation attached to this. So the whole excuse where we're trying to build our farm system and not, you know, start making ourselves better right now by using those assets, we want to build that up. Well, he had an opportunity to do that where it was going to be just money. Now it was going to be more money because of the competitive balance tax, but still, like you had a way to give yourself a better chance to actually be a playoff team by adding someone like Jordan Montgomery.
Well, I think the Jordan Montgomery acquisition would have benefited this team, not even just this year. Like, I was all for, you bring in a guy like Montgomery, I would have given him 2-3 years. You know, because I still think that Montgomery's value to your club would benefit you even when you're ready to, you know, so-called contend, because Montgomery's not a one. Hell, in a perfect world, I wouldn't even want Montgomery as a number two. If I have a championship-caliber rotation and baseball team, I would feel best about Montgomery being no better than a three.
Right, what you know next season, right, or what we think the plan is that once the money comes off the books, the retained money from Scherzer and from Verlander is when they're going to get more active in free agency. They went after Yamamoto, it didn't work out, and now we'll have this year regroup, gap year, whatever you want to call it, and then next year when you look at some of the free agent pitchers available, when you look at some of the free agents just in general available, that's when we'll go out and start spending money again. But Why not give yourself the best chance? Like, you waited until JD Martinez became, you know, a number that you felt comfortable with, and you picked him up to give yourself a better chance. You'd seen enough of Vientos, you sent him down. There's no, bringing in Jordan Montgomery is not going to affect anyone's ability, any young kid's ability to get experience. it's only going to make you better this year and give yourself a real chance to take advantage of what's going to be a pretty good lineup.
Well, what's interesting, too, is to your point about the J.D. Martinez thing, right? They let the number come back to them, and they felt it was okay to strike. And this was very late in the process, almost at the start of the regular season. Now, with the Montgomery situation, all right, nobody thought in a million years that he was going to sign for 1 year, $25 million back in November. He was even surprised about that. Given the fact that you lost Senga, and even though I guess things are trending in the right direction with him, but who the hell knows until he's actually out on the mound. But you lost Senga. The Montgomery market came back to you. I just don't understand. Unless you were right there with an offer and you were one of many teams that were, you know, 1 year, 20, what, and Montgomery just didn't choose you.
So why not make it 30 then?
Well, that's what I mean. But like, so why did they think that 30 was more prohibitive than 25 and they didn't want to go that far?
Prohibitive to what though?
Compared to the money that they actually were offering.
Yeah, yeah, but what makes it prohibitive? This is not going to, it's a 1 year deal.
Well, to the Mets, I don't know. That's why
no,
they
but that's what I'm saying, though. It's not a 1 year deal. If you want to tell me we don't give a long term deal because there's other guys that we like in free agency and we're going to take a big swing with Juan Soto or and Walker Buehler, whoever the guy, the couple guys are, and us signing into a long term deal won't give us the flexibility that we need financially. That's not the case. It's going to cost you more money, but I was told that money is not an issue. Like to protect the farm system because that's what we're trying to build. That's why we just spent all that money to get rid of Verlander and Scherzer for prospects. Why not give this group of guys the best chance by just, and again, it's just costing you money. Now, it's not my money, I understand, but I don't understand why when you have so many, I mean, you're talking about Yankees question marks with the rotation. At least those guys have a track record of actually pitching well. Right? Manaea was in the bullpen. Severino was the worst pitcher, the self-proclaimed worst pitcher in baseball last season. Right? I mean, so
I don't disagree. And the point I was trying to make is just like, okay, if Martinez came back to you and you went in, what influenced your decision, I guess apart from money, to not then do the same thing with Jordan Montgomery, even though it was this late in the process? Unless Montgomery just did not want to be a Met and he chose Arizona, it's not a bad place to live. They're a better team than the Mets, and maybe he wanted to chase another championship.
Yeah, right. So incentivize him. So they're going to give you 25, we'll give you 30. And then you can hit free agency next season.
Did we ever find out what the offer was that the Mets tapped out on with Montgomery?
I didn't see
Were they in the ballpark at all?
I didn't see the offer. Nope, I did not see the offer.
All right, let's say hi to Steve in New Providence. He's up next here, wants to talk a little Met baseball. Stevie, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's up, Steve?
So, the theme of the week seems to have been a push and pull between the two Mets points of view. One, which is, I love David Stearns. I love what he's building. I love the direction of the Mets. Two, which is, you guys set all our expectations low, but we're going to now pretend like money is an object. We're going to not try to sign Jordan Montgomery for a lot of the reasons that you just said. Not totally clear why you would do that unless money really is an object. And it feels a little bit like talking out of both sides of our mouth. More than anything, I'm not sure that as a Mets fan, I'm prepared to jump into this saying, I love David Stearns. I think this is great. Because I'm not seeing the direction of our team. We're going to say we can light hundreds of millions of dollars on fire for Scherzer and Verlander. That's okay.
Well,
we can't
pay Steve, even though
he's just going to cost us money.
Steve, what they did was last year, remember, they went all in on the older players and it blew up in their face and they were a disaster. So Steve Cohen pivoted and said, you know what?
No, but that's not Steve's point. Steve, thanks for the phone call. That's not Steve's point. Steve's point is not the initial spend of the money to go all in and try to win a championship. It was to light the money on fire and give them away. Right?
Well, they didn't give them away.
No. You spent, right. But hey, money was an issue when you were trying to buy prospects. And we all applauded him for that. Right? For him, the money was spent.
Mm-hmm.
Go out, get rid of them, get the prospects you want, and actually, you know, pay the money to get the better prospects. That's great. I guess his point is, why all of a sudden now, when we're talking about someone that could help this team this year and not really affect your long-term plans, is money an issue? It's not like it's prohibiting you from doing anything. It's like it's not affecting your plan. It's
because still think you're paying for the sins of last year and the previous year because your payroll is still astronomical.
Yeah, but we were, it shouldn't matter though. I thought I was told like, hey, we don't want to take anything out of our farm system because we're still trying to build that up. But money is not an issue.
Well, maybe they don't feel that bringing in a guy like Jordan Montgomery, for example, is going to make all that much difference. Because, and look, this is the same organization, the same franchise that had the best pitcher in baseball for a number of years, and they won nothing with him. Nothing. So maybe they figure, you know what? What the hell am I going to spend an extra $30 million for Jordan Montgomery if it means two more wins and we go from a 78-win team to an 80-win team? Next year, they're going to spend like drunken sailors.
I understand that. I get what you're saying. And I don't fully disagree with you, but I also recognize that when they gave us the plan, the reason why we weren't going to do certain things is because, like, the reason we weren't going to pay JD Martinez what he's looking for is because we want to get out of this season, because we can't guarantee that we're going to be a playoff team, but we can guarantee that we're going to give Mark Vientos every opportunity to prove to us whether or not he can play. I get that. So signing Jordan Montgomery doesn't guarantee you that you're going to be a playoff team, but it also doesn't take away from getting a look at young players. Like, tell me the young players. Unless you're going to tell me that you have a plan for young pitchers in your system that you want to see, and Jordan Montgomery being on this team will affect that, then I can buy into that. But I don't currently see that. I don't see that. And all I know, and the other thing I know, is that when Kodai Senga does come back, you're probably going to need a 6-man rotation anyway.
Easy. And we don't even know when that's going to be either. You can't have faith that he's going to be healthy. You just have no idea. I don't want to hear about the throwing program and how he's feeling, because you could go right back to square one again. That's why it's so tricky with these pitchers, and that's the only reason why you say with Montgomery, well, at least I would have gave you a little bit of cost certainty in that rotation.
Yeah, and some more hope. You saw the fan base reacting when they got JD Martinez.
Great. It was a great move.
Right, so all of a sudden you bring Jordan Montgomery in?
But I would have doubled down, and I would have even, like I said, I would have tacked on more years to Montgomery, because he would have helped you even when you were ready to win, and even if you want to maybe spread the money out a little bit.
Unless they don't think Jordan Montgomery's that good.
Possibly. And that's what you got to ask Dave Stearns and the scouts. Who knows?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Sandlot soundtrack today, right? That's your bread and butter.
I mean, what movie gets you in a baseball mood more than that one?
The Natural.
The Natural's very good as well, and I've dropped in a couple of those today.
Slightly overrated.
Well, no.
I'm just going. We've had this conversation. We've had this conversation. Major League's a great baseball movie. You know, it's not a bad movie, and though it's kind of like slanted more towards the kids. I think Little Big League's not a bad little film, because they have like real major leaguers, the teams, the stadiums, all that stuff.
You know, I remember that was a good novelty about that movie, but it kind of just fell by the wayside. I'm still kind of reeling from you calling The Natural overrated. That's a bit rough. I'm not sure I agree with that one there, Bob.
I watched it during the pandemic again, and I was like, you know, this really, it's not doing it for me.
Wow. I mean, that's right there.
It's not.
You've had some doozies this week. I'm looking at you differently.
Right. I didn't say it was bad. I just think it's slightly overrated in terms of people putting it on like Mount Rushmore.
I can't trust you with the horse whistler now, with that script.
I'm the creative genius behind the horse whistler. No, you're going to have to trust me.
Clearly not, if you don't think The Natural was a great movie. You're nuts. Nuts. What's your favorite sports movie of all time?
I mean, Rocky's a sports movie, right?
Yeah,
Rocky's, so you got to throw that one in.
Boxing,
there.
That's your favorite of all time?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
What's wrong with Rocky? I mean, Rocky's
nothing.
A classic.
I think Rocky's a great movie. I would say nothing disparaging about Rocky.
Why, is The Natural your favorite sports movie of all time?
It's right up there. Yeah, I love that movie.
John Winthrop is a movie connoisseur.
No, he's not.
I think John's kind of agreeing with you.
He'll probably say like Pride of the Yankees or something like that, right? Gary Cooper, because it's in black and white and it's from the 40s.
A baseball musical, he'll say it.
Where do you stand on Bull Durham, just out of curiosity?
It's a great movie.
Not as good as Major League. As far as like, you know, baseball comedy.
Yeah, okay, I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. I think it's good. Not quite as good as the first Major League. Yes, I would agree.
No, there's only one Major League. The other ones, they're like kids' movies. At least the second one, they made it into a kids' movie.
Field of Dreams.
Have to wake up back.
Field of Dreams, good movie.
Nothing negative to say.
No, I don't think so.
So you chose today to say something negative about The Natural.
Yeah, but if you would have asked me yesterday, I would have said the same thing about The Natural. I can't fake something that I don't believe in.
I understand that.
You feel very strongly about The Natural.
I look differently at you now. It's affected our relationship.
But you shouldn't, though.
In a negative way.
You shouldn't.
I do.
But you still want me to help you make baseball picks.
I do. Well, now I'm starting.
But see here, the same person that you recruited and you turned over to the dark side to join the team to make baseball picks is the same person who had that opinion of The Natural 3 days ago.
Well, listen, we're not going to see eye to eye on everything. But,
no.
I mean.
But that's why we're going to put our differences aside, come together and make great baseball picks.
Right, which is what good teams do. Do you like the Bad News Bears?
Oh, my, classic.
Okay.
Classic. Right. Even the sequel. Even the sequel.
There are some movies that you like. That's good. I just don't know if I can trust you now with the script.
So just one movie. No, I'm good with the script.
Though.
I'm good with the script.
Such a great movie.
Listen to me. Did I say it stinks? No, I said it's a good movie. I just do not put it in the pantheon of these great sports movies of all time. That's all. Left a little to be desired.
Running the bases and he's bleeding. Come on, man. Yeah. So good.
It's also a fantasy.
It's fine. It's all right. I mean, it's...
Surprised there wasn't a unicorn or a horse whistler, you know, galloping around the warning track.
Coming from the guy whose movie idea is to have a homeless person that turns into a horse whistler, right? You want Raymond
as a
hobo.
It's not a final product yet.
Well, okay. But, I mean, that's what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about.
Think of some of the greatest movies of all time had completely different plot lines when they were first cultivated. This is a work in progress.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to see.
Here's what I know about the horse whistler, that if this thing ever gets off the ground, John Winthrop, who I still swear is a movie connoisseur, would be fully consumed with the horse whistler and would swear by it.
Yeah, because in John's mind, like as he was working as a paleontologist, that's when he would stumble across the horse whistle. That's how he would.
I actually wanted to be a paleontologist.
That's how he'd wedge himself into this movie.
I might put a paleontologist in the movie, a character in the movie.
Played by John.
Part of the background story.
RJ is the angry jockey.
Some paleontologist may hear about this horse whistle, which may or may not have magical powers, and may want to get their hands on it and find the origin, where it came from, how it came to power.
Yeah, well, you're going to have plenty of time. I can't wait till the next time we do the show together and you have a full script, cast, all of it.
Mm-hmm. I will. By the way, 32 years ago today, you know what happened?
No.
Christian Laettner hit the shot.
Oh, I did see that.
The shot. Against Kentucky, the old Philadelphia Spectrum. Great pass by Grant Hill. Don't sleep on the pass. And Christian Laettner is going to be on Greeny coming up at 11 a.m.
Nice.
So for the last 32 years, you've heard him tell the same story about that play. You're going to hear it one more time coming up at 11 o'clock.
Sure, Peter Rosenberg is thrilled.
To relive that one?
He hates Duke. He hates
by the way,
Duke, so much.
Duke is going to meet their match coming up tomorrow against Houston.
Oh, you're calling it?
Yeah. Everybody who thinks that Duke is, you know, no tough guys or whatever, Houston's got some dudes, and they're going to put them in their place. Just saying that. Raymond, it's time for three stars.
Today's three stars, number three.
Oh, and thank you so much, Rick, for the very great Dan-centric open.
Who are you?
And, you know, there were so many accents in there, and I've lost all of them here, but it's fine because we can always just talk about baseball being rained out. Once again, the Skywater wins.
Some oatmeal, maybe some peanut butter and jelly while I wait out the rain.
Number two.
That's okay because we can celebrate opening day anyway, and I'm glad that you picked up on what I was doing with the baseball movies, but especially the Sandlot. We'll give Major League a little bit of love.
Hats for bats. Keep bats warm. Gracias.
Who doesn't love Pedro Serrano? Who doesn't love the Sandlot? The great Hambino?
You're killing me, Smalls. the Great Bambino.
You play ball like a girl.
I got to tell you, aside from your disappointing take on The Natural, Dan, which is, you know, I'm looking
I didn't
at you
say it was a bad movie.
It's grotesque.
The other one, which kind of I'm flabbergasted at, is that Don had never seen The Sandlot.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to fix that. Maybe you have to fix
Mighty
that.
Ducks, maybe. Hockey guy, Mighty Ducks.
But again, as a hockey guy, like he probably would be disgusted if he saw the Mighty Ducks. I get where he'd be coming from.
Number one.
And the other thing, this will be a thing tomorrow when Dave comes back, because accusations may have been thrown.
The person who is in charge of a pool, out of like an integrity type of thing, they will post, like for instance in this case the bracket, they will post their bracket or anybody affiliated with them under the same roof, their bracket, so people could get a look at that just to make sure that they're not doing anything fancy behind the scenes, because I don't know who's on anybody's bracket. You don't know.
I'm sure Dave's response to that tomorrow is going to be very rational and very well thought out.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Good luck to everybody.
Wouldn't expect anything less. We had a blast this week. At least I did. Hey, Ricky, how about Rule 76?
No excuses. Play a champion. It's DiPietro Grasso.
The Horse Whistler.
On 98.7 ESPN.
The Great Bambino.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.